Welcome to Let's Talk About It, co-hosted by Maria Wyatt and Scott Dudley. Presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services and brought to you as a podcast by KXOradio.com.
Good morning, Imperial Valley. You're listening to your weekly wellness radio, Let's Talk About It, with your hosts, Scott and Maria. We are brought to you by Imperial County Behavioral Health and KUBO 88.7 Radio Bilingüe. Our phone number here at the station is area code 760-337-8874.
Operators are standing by to take your colleagues from Visa, MasterCard, and Diners Club. Ooh, flashback to the 60s. Good morning. Hi, I'm Scott. That's Maria. We are your hosts of Let's Talk About It. And as usual, if you want to call, calling makes the show really, really wonderful, and we love to take your calls. 337-8874. Also, as usual, you will be able to catch this on a podcast at kxoradio.com shortly after the show, because Mario, our executive producer, fresh back from Puerto Rico, will get that slapped up and put up on the website. So good morning. Welcome. We have a great show for you today. Our trifecta of guests. We have three guests today in the busy studios of KX or of KUBO Radio. Our three guests today, we have Aida Castillo. She's a substance abuse counselor for Imperial County Behavioral Health Services. She's been a substance abuse counselor over there for more than 5 years. 5 years? Yeah, 5 years. And we have two guests also who are participating in some of our programs, and their names are Megan and Claudia, and they're going to jump right now into a live activity that they do to begin their day to help ground them and begin the process of recovery. So hang on. Here we go.
Hello, everyone. My name is Aida Castillo, and we're just going to role play what we normally do in our normal group session. So we're going to start in with a status check. So ladies, let's start our status check. Megan, do you want to go ahead and start?
My status check, one of the questions is, how do I feel? Today I feel motivated and ready to start my day. Coping tools that I've been using are thought stopping and distraction. Have I had any substance abuse or bad behavior? No. Commitments completed, staying sober, and attending this radio show. And then my resource updates are my CalWORKs. And my journal is, this morning I woke up at 5 o'clock and did my chores. I am very excited because my son will be back home today. He went on vacation to Georgia, and I've missed him a lot, and I'm really happy to be able to see him whenever he gets back. Okay, Claudia. Here's Claudia's status check.
Hi, my name is Claudia. My questions are, how are you feeling? Today I feel good. I'm a little nervous, but overall I'm doing good. And what good coping have you done? I've done my thought stopping, distraction, and my 16 strategies. Any substance abuse? No, I haven't had any substance abuse or unsafe behavior. Did I complete my commitment? Yes, I'm here, and I keep attending my classes. My community resource, well, I just have been attending church and my NA meetings. And that's my status check.
So Aida, you guys, I guess, do this every day when you start group. What's it for, and what kind of stuff does it work in terms of you running your groups and helping people to recover?
Right, we just kind of get the feel of where everyone is at in the recovery, and then we just kind of process whatever feelings they're going through or whatever they're going through at the moment, and so we can move on to the topic that we've chosen for that day.
It's no longer how a lot of people, when they say you're going to alcohol and drug classes, they always assume that maybe it's like a 12-step. You're not a 12 step, correct?
No, we're not. However, we do emphasize on the spirituality part. If that's what keeps them motivated, if that's what helps them, then to use those tools. One of the things that we work on is seeking safety, and one of the core concepts of seeking safety is to use whatever you can to help you. And so, you know, that's what I let them know. If church helps you, if NA meetings help you, if anything else helps you, meditation, yoga, whatnot, then use it. Use it for your own advantage and for your benefit.
Megan, when you guys talked about, I think the second, what was the second question? What tools or something have you used, right, in your status check?
Yeah, it's our coping tools. and to help me keep sober throughout the day. I'll use a distraction. I'll do something to keep me distracted.
What did you remember what you had? I remember thought stopping jumped out.
Yeah, one of them was thought stopping and then distraction.
Well, tell me about thought stopping. I mean, how does that work?
Thought stopping would be, say, if I'm having an urge or a craving or to do any bad behavior, I would find something to keep me busy and change my stopping and stop the negative stopping that I'm having going on in my head.
Do you picture like a big stop sign thing or?
No.
Stop.
No, also.
Thou shalt not pass.
But if this, you could, anything, right? So that means that if you're cleaning, you know, anything that will distract you from.
Yeah, like some things that help me. I like to rollerblade.
Okay.
So I'll rollerblade sometimes. I like to do like make necklaces and like rings and stuff, and that'll help me too. And then a while back, actually, we did the inspirational box, and that helps me a lot. Actually, me and my son, we made it together. I have some things that inspire me to stay sober every day. Like my son, he made me a necklace. Little things like not too long ago he made me, I found it in his backpack actually. It was an envelope that he had made out of a sticky note. And I opened it up and it said, Mommy, can you please buy me a Bakugan? You know, the little battle brawlers?
Yes.
And stuff like that, little things like that, it just keeps me motivated. So that was one of the things. And then he likes pine cones and he has gave me a pine cone and he wanted to put it in the inspirational box. And then we also have, I had a little elephant stuffed animal that he gave me. And I have that in there too.
Tuesday, he's very important to you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
All his stuff is in the inspirational box.
He keeps me strong every day and keeps me motivated and helps me to move forward.
It takes a lot of work to move forward, it sounds like. Has that been the case for you in your recovery?
I know before I always had trouble with setting goals and not completing them. I would always give up. And now since I've been clean, I want to move forward. And I actually, now I look forward to the future. Before, I would always stress in the future, oh, what's going to happen tomorrow? Where am I going to be next year? Or now I know everything's going to be great for me.
Mm-hmm. How long have you been clean?
5 months.
5 months?
Yeah. Almost 5 months.
And how long were you using before that?
Since I was 13.
And you're like 17 now? Or?
I'm 24.
Okay.
Wow, since you were 13.
Yeah.
11 years.
Yeah. The longest that I was sober, whenever I was pregnant with my son, and then whenever he was, I believe, 3 weeks old, I started using again.
Do you ever ask yourself why, or did you have to answer that, or is that part of this process, or?
Actually, I don't know why. I know that it kept me numb for so long, and I've had, like, so many, this is the longest that I've had so many feelings coming out, and it feels good to have these feelings, though. I know my surroundings, and I know what's going on, and it's, like, it's realistic, it's real.
Why did you want to numb yourself?
Probably because growing up as a child.
There was a lot.
Yeah, I went through a lot.
And so that was your coping. You used the drugs, too.
Yeah, the drugs. Yeah.
From what you saw when you were in the environment, Megan. Yeah, we'll go right now. From what you saw in the environment, is that pretty common? For women in particular, is that kind of that numbing or having to cope with pain? Is that pretty common? Is that why you see a lot of your friends in the recovery community now? And is that what you see people having to go through?
Being numb?
Well, how they get... Yeah, is that typically, is there a reason for people to get involved in substances, in particular when they get caught in them?
Well, I know it was me. Well, growing up, it was me and my twin and my older sister, and we didn't have very much supervision as a child, and we got to do really whatever we wanted, and it just gave us a lot of freedom, and we turned to drugs. So I know whenever I was younger, whenever, like my stepdad, whenever he would try to be strict with us, I thought that he was the rude one, or that he just didn't like us. And now that I'm older, I realize that we needed discipline whenever we were growing up. And that's something that I want to give my son. I think discipline is one of the best things you can give a child.
help keep them safe.
Yeah.
And be consistent.
Yeah.
Claudia.
Yeah.
How has this been for you? On your coping thing, on that, you said 16...
My 16 strategies?
Yeah, what are your 16? Tell me about
they're,
that.
They're different. There's like, there's thought stopping, distraction, escape, avoidance. There's a lot of them. I just really use the ones that apply to me, you know, like avoidance and escape, and I try to stay away from people, you know, that are a trigger for me.
Mm-hmm.
Is that hard?
At first it was, but not anymore, you know, because it doesn't interest me anymore. It's just...
Do they still kind of, like, you know, when you're trying to change your friends or stop hanging around with those
first
so-called friends, you know, they... look for you.
At first, yeah, they did, and then not anymore, you know, because you just tell them, you know, I changed my life, I don't want to go back to that, you know, and they my friends just stayed away.
So now you have new friends.
Yes, I do. I have a lot of new friends from recovery, and I really like it. I really like being sober. Mm-hmm. It's something new for me, and it's been really good. I've been able to restore my relationship with my father and with my family, you know, because I've hurt them a lot, and it's been really good for me.
What was it like getting to the point where you could say something like that? Was it, you know, easy, hard? Did it take a year? Did it take a week?
Oh, it's taken a long time. It was really hard for me at first, you know, because I blamed everybody else, and since I've been in my recovery, I realized that I did this to me, and it was hard at first, but it gets easier, you know. I've been an addict for a long time, for like 10 years. Well, for 10 years, you know, and I've been sober for 8 months, so it's still kind of new, but it's been really good for me. I'm trying to get my daughter back, and it's something good. I like the change.
But it's almost like a practice. It's almost like, I don't know, like being on a football team or something where you get up and you have to do stuff kind of every day.
Yeah. Every day. Every day something new comes at you and you have to learn how to cope with it, how to deal with it. And being in this class really helps me because Aida shows us so many strategies, so many ways to deal with all the problems that life has thrown at me, you know? Because before I would have just used, and now there's so many new ways to deal with all my problems. I don't have to get high.
Was life saving some special problems for your recovery just to kind of test you out?
I don't know, I guess. It seems that way. It seems like now that I'm clean, like all kinds of new problems and new things just come my way, but I'm dealing with them.
Yeah. You're dealing with them in a new, different way.
In a new, different way, yeah, you know, in a good
before,
way.
Before it was like the problem would come. Let's go to drugs.
Yeah.
Use drugs. To cope with
that was my way of dealing with it.
And now it's like, okay, let's do it.
I can do different things. I can, you know, try new things.
How about the word relapse? I mean, it's there. Have you guys prepared in case?
Big dark clouds.
Yeah.
In the room.
I mean, no, but I mean, it happens. I mean, it's for some, it won't happen. They stay clean, and then they'll stay clean for the rest of their lives. Yeah. But, you know, do your family know about relapse and what to do or what you guys need to do in case you relapse?
My family knows about it, but I'm just thankful. I'm blessed with a very supportive family.
Mm-hmm.
My dad, he's just, you know, always there, always on top of me, you know. I guess I don't even have the chance, you know. I don't have the time or anything to relapse,
mm-hmm.
you know, because my parents are just there on me, helping me.
Especially if you're using all those skills that I eat at the counter. Yeah.
So for me, that doesn't
happen.
I don't know. For you,
Megan? What do you think?
Well, I was just thinking that if it did come time, like if I thought that
you have somebody to call, you have a plan. You
really,
know?
The only support group I have is my recovery class that I have. I have everyone's number in there. I would give one of them a call, but I know that for me, thinking back, you know, like using pros and cons, which are CBAs, cost-benefit analysis, me thinking about, like, I would think back to whenever I got my son taken away from me, and that would keep me motivated. And I never, ever want to put my son through any more pain. He's been through enough, and
that
definitely wouldn't be worth it for me. And I know I've had chances to relapse, in the beginning, I was still hanging out with the same crowd for at least a couple weeks. I didn't have anywhere to go. I was homeless. And but eventually, you know, I knew I had to get away from them.
That must be hard. I mean, especially if you don't have anyone, you know, if you're homeless and they're there. You know, they're like your... Yeah, they say, you know, they're saying that they're
your friends.
Exactly, you can clash here. You know, you're
really?
Queer. You know, and but of course, you know, hey, the drugs are there.
Mm-hmm. I know. I just need to stay away from that bad crowd. I've moved so many times in my life. I've always thought, oh, I need to get clean, so I'm gonna move.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can't even how many times I've moved. This is the first time I've actually stuck with it and gone clean in the same town that I was using.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the first opportunity.
Welcome to El Centro, by the way.
Yeah. This is the first opportunity that I've had to be able to work on my recovery or be in a support group.
So you're not from El Centro?
I lived in Holtville, actually, since I was like in third grade, and then I moved to Nevada for 13 years.
Mm, okay.
So, and then I came back here.
337-8874 is the phone number if you want to give us a call today. We are Let's Talk About It, sponsored by Imperial County Behavioral Health. She's Maria. I'm Scott.
You know, this was conversation was going so well that we forgot about the intro, the halfway. But right now you guys are what are your plans? What are your future? Are you going, you know, staying clean? Do you have any future plans? What to do with your life and what do you want to do? Because when you were using drugs, it was your future was when is my next time I get high? When is the next time I'm gonna get a hit? You know, how I'm gonna get it? You know, where am I gonna get it? So now that's in the past. Now here's a future that you're clean and sober and.
Well, one of my goals is now. Well, it's been my goal for a long time. I've just never even started to move forward towards that goal is to go back to school, and I want to work with children. I want to work with be a child psychologist.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my goal right now. Right now, I'm just focusing on my recovery.
But now you have a goal.
Yeah, I have a goal.
And before?
And I'm going to complete that goal.
Yeah, and before you didn't, there was no that.
I mean, I had the thought in my mind, but then, of course, you know, I get distracted by the drugs or... I would just tell myself, oh, I have plenty of time to go complete that goal. No big rush.
Mm-hmm.
But my son, you know, he's already going to be 8, and I've been saying this for such a long time. And my son, he deserves better, and I'm going to do better for him and me.
So you got pregnant pretty young.
Yeah, I got pregnant when I was 15.
Like doing the math here.
Yeah, I was pregnant whenever I was 15, and I had him when I was 16.
But you stopped using while you were pregnant?
Yeah.
Did you find out really soon, or did you kind of like trimester and a half and then?
No, actually, his father, he didn't like my drug of choice was meth, and he didn't like that at all. So I had gotten clean, you know, being around him, and then I found, sure enough, like 2 weeks later, I found out I'm pregnant. So, and I was young, and I ended up dropping out of school, too. My mom had told me to stay, or that my son needs me, and it's not a big deal, you know, I can finish school later.
Has that proven true or easy?
That's very false. I've had rough times, you know, in the economy now, you need to have a GED, high school diploma to even get a good job. So, and I don't have that. I'm working on my GED right now. So, but no, like one thing that scares me is when my son's a teenager. I'm kind of scared about that.
Well, he's 8 right now. He's witnessed probably some of the problem, but definitely some of the solution, I guess, some of your recovery.
Yeah, and he's a strong little boy. I'm really lucky with how much I put him through, with how smart and mature he is. If I have a problem, I'm upset, I can always go talk to my son about it, and he always, you know, he'll tell me, Mommy, it's okay, everything's going to be okay, I'm here. And actually, I asked him whenever he came back from his vacation what he wanted to do, and he told me that, Mom, I want you to hold me in your arms.
Nice.
Yeah, he's
A charmer.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Well, Claudia, what's it been like for you? I know your mom. What's it been like for you with the whole parenting thing, and where are you at with that, and how do you feel about it?
It's been kind of hard for me because, I got my child taken away when she was 2 months old, and she's going to be 2 years old now, and there for a while, I wouldn't get clean, I wouldn't do what I had to do, and now I started this program, and I've been doing really good. I went to a home, and then I came to this program, and my daughter, it's really hard for me because my daughter's so young, and she doesn't really know me, and
So in the last 2 years, have you ever had her?
Well, no, I have visits and stuff, and I get to see her on weekends sometimes, you know, but she doesn't have that relationship, that
bond.
Yeah, so it's been really hard, and that's one of my goals, you know. I just want to be a good mom to her. I want her to love me and know me as her mom. That's why, you know, every day that I'm clean is for her.
In the beginning, that must have been, because you could hear that even as she was a baby, it seems like a part of you at least really wanted to, you know, keep her and get it together.
Yeah. But it was,
and a part of you was getting in the way of that. What was that like, having both of those things going at the same time?
That struggle. It was a struggle.
It was. My addiction was just, I don't know. I can't explain it. Yeah, my addiction was just got in the way of a lot of things, with everything, with my daughter, with my family, with everything, and... That's one of my hardest things.
What was your drug of choice?
I was a heroin addict. And it was really hard for me. So I'm just really proud of myself because I haven't been clean in a long time. And
is this the longest that you've been clean?
Yeah. And it feels really good.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations. And I mean, for both of you. Because you know, people, I listen to their radio and... You know, they have this perception about drug users, and they say, you know, why can't this just stop? You know? But a lot of times they don't know what you've gone through. What you've gone through, how strong that addiction is. A lot of women, especially women, use because they've gone through trauma. Just trauma, and that they have such traumatic experiences that, you know, they're using drugs to cope with it.
Was that something for you, Claudia, that emotional numbing? Was that a big part of what you were trying to get to?
Well, yeah. When they took my daughter, yeah, at first, you know, when I first started using drugs, it started out, like, for fun, because I wasn't raised like that or nothing, you know, and it started out as something fun, something I wanted to try to do, and then it just got out of hand. Mm-hmm. But when I got pregnant and, you know, I had my child and they took her, then it just got way out of control. I just, to numb that feeling, it's the most horrible feeling you could ever feel, you know? And
my daughter's going to be four, so, I mean, I just can't imagine.
It's a horrible feeling. So, yeah, I did use to numb my pain, just to forget, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And every time I use, I feel worse because, you know, it's like you're supposed to be getting clean so you can get your child back and look at what you're doing, you know? So it was just...
And then you feel shame. And
yeah, I just was going through it.
And then you would use again to get that, you know, feeling, trying to get that rid of that.
And I wasted a whole year of my daughter's life, you know, when I could have had her back already. And I just kept going and going. And now I've been clean for 8 months and I'm going to get my daughter back in November. So I'm happy. It was all worth it, you know. Every day that I'm clean is worth it.
November is
still a few, like 4 months, but
they'll be girl go by fast.
That's the goal, to get her back.
Are you excited? Are you getting?
Yes, I'm a little nervous. I'm scared because, you know, she doesn't really know me, but I can do this. You know, I have all my tools and all my
family support. Like,
oh yeah, my dad and his wife Lydia, they've been really, really, really good to me. And they've never given up on me, so.
And I think that's very important to have support. Friends, family is important.
Yes.
If you have your friends, supportive friends, Megan has her friends in the support group. So if you can call them, you say you have all their numbers, that's great. I mean, that's important to have support.
Yeah. Claudia, what do you do for fun?
for fun.
Now.
I just spend time with my dad and his wife. They take us to the movies, me and my husband. We go to the movies. We go to the mall or we go to church. I mean, it's not like a big party, but it's something new. I mean, things I didn't have time to do when I was getting high. That's what I do, just spend time with them.
And you're actively with your husband?
Yes.
Did he have to recover too? Was this a joint effort?
Yes. We used together all these years, and we went to Turning Point Ministries. Mm-hmm. We went together, and then after that, I started coming to this class. So we've been in our recovery together. Mm-hmm. You know, he's been a big support for me too, because he's been using drugs longer than me and stuff. You know, he's older than me, but he really helped me get through this. And
is he also in the classes, or he?
He's gonna start going to class.
Okay.
Yeah.
How you told him? Okay. It's
yeah, I've been telling him.
It's different.
You know, I show him everything that Aida gives me. Mm-hmm. I take it home and I show it to him. You know, and we look at it together. So he knows what he's gonna.
Is he also class. Been clean right now?
Yes, we've been clean 8 months already.
All right.
What about for you, Megan? Do you have a partner in on this deal? Did it hurt the process? Did it make it harder? Did it make it easier?
I know. Well, growing up, me and my twin, we got on drugs together.
Ooh, that's a different partnership.
Yeah, she's it actually got to where we knew we couldn't be around each other anymore because we would just get high together. She's been clean for 17 months now, and she's pregnant with her third child. She's married. And
I can tell you're jealous. You really wish you had three kids to take care of her.
The only thing that I'm jealous of is because she has a family life. You know? I mean, I want that. But, I mean, I'm proud of her, and she is one of the persons that inspires me. I say, you know, she did it, and I can do it. So.
What do you do for fun?
Huh?
Besides making
what
cool
do I
jewelry,
for fun?
What do you do for fun? Yeah.
I can't really think of anything to top of. I mean, I rollerblade.
Yeah.
I rollerblade, and then, you know, I go, really one of the highlights of my day is coming to my recovery class. So, and then, I mean, I'm in the House of Hope, and I have chores over there, I do, and there's a lot of kids over there, actually, there's 13 kids over there right now, and I like to play with the kids over there.
Oh, nice.
So
do you know when you're going to get your son back, or?
Right now, my time up at the House of Hope is August 11th, so I'm working on finding a place to stay.
Can it get extended? And
I've talked to the manager about it, but I'm not sure yet. She can't really give me an exact yes or no.
Or, on the other hand, are you eager to get into a place of your own and maybe get housing somewhere?
Yeah, it's just hard because I'm so focused on my recovery, and I don't have an income right now because I don't have my son. Mm-hmm. And it's like, to get my son, or whenever I get my son, I can have an income and I can get a place.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't have my son right now, and I can't get a place without an income.
And then trying to get a job, and then...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard. But
yeah. But I'm, you know what, mm-hmm. It'll work out. It'll be okay. I get my son on the weekends right now.
So right now, I'm thinking that he's in a foster care, or?
He's actually with my grandparents.
Okay.
In Holtville.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good. That's good. He's there with his family.
Yeah, he's well. Thank God it's not in a foster home. I'd rather him be with someone he knows.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. He's well taken care of.
Would you be getting up at 5 if you weren't at the House of Hope, or is that just part of your practice?
Now you're used to it, probably.
I'm used to it now. I'll probably, whenever I do get my own place, I'll probably be getting up every morning early, just, you know, because now when I get up in the morning, I'm ready to start my day, and I'm so eager and motivated to start my future.
When you started, one question that, when you started the program here with Behavior Health, did you realize there were so many women, or did you already know that there were so many women? Just a man also with drug issues, or with this?
I've never, like I said, this is the first time I've ever been in a support group, and I've never realized that I can relate to so many to so many other women and men.
So
even our support group is just women, though, And that's one of the other things that, like, it's awesome, you know, because we can talk about certain things that we wouldn't be able to talk about with men.
Mm-hmm. Are there things that get women into substance problems and also keep them into recovery that are different than from men, do you think? Claudia's going, yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
Claudia, you want to answer that?
Yeah, I think so, because women go through so many different things than men, so I think, yeah, our...
Like?
What have you seen? Or what have you heard? I mean,
well...
You guys are treated different than us?
No, but it's just, we go through more feelings and emotions and stuff, you know?
Especially the children.
So, yeah, and our kids and all that stuff, so I think it is very different for us, because, I don't know, we're just girls. I don't really know how to answer.
But it's like girls rule and boys rule.
Yeah.
Something like that. I'll believe, when you've got a women president and more than half of women running government, I'll believe you on that one. Okay.
Oh.
Well, no. I
come to my house.
It's easy to say, but let's see gender equity play itself out and empower, and then I'm willing to, you know, buy into the fact that
we're actually on par. We're just behind, but we're actually the ones that run everything.
Yeah, I'd be okay with that.
I'm just looking at Scott here, okay?
I'd be okay with that. Because a lot of being a parent, being a mom, is about, you know, how to nurture your children and how to... Yeah. For you guys, how important is it that your kids take a different pathway? I mean, Megan, you talked about already kind of wondering what it's going to be like when your son's a teenager.
I can say, for me growing up the way I did, it helps me, I would use the CBAs, the cost benefit analysis. I would look back and with the way I grew up, I would do the exact opposite for my son. I know with everything that I went through, I absolutely do not want my son to go through that.
So you said that you didn't have a lot of structure, that you had quite a bit of freedom.
Yeah, I had a lot of freedom.
So for him, it's going to be more
discipline. I want him to be able to come to me and talk to me, and I want to
more communication. In other words,
yeah, good communication.
So your parents might not have been aware. Your stepdad and your mom might not have been aware of because there wasn't communication. Or
yeah,
there was less communication?
I know. I guess. Well, my stepdad, I was kind of scared of him growing up. And then a lot of the times, whenever he did try to discipline him or discipline us, my mom would jump in and wouldn't let him.
That's hard.
Yeah.
That's hard. And that's hard because I'm also a step parent, and it's very hard.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what kind of stuff are you doing now with your weekend visits and you know, going forward to kind of change the track?
Me and my son, whenever he comes, we do... You know, we play game boards. We like to play checkers. We'll, you know, get in the sprinklers, you know, with this hot weather. we go to church every Sunday. It's crazy because it's like whenever he's coming on the weekend, it's just me and him. You know, it's like we're best friends. We're, you know, it's like just me and him together. And I've never experienced that with him. Mm-hmm. I mean, me and him were close. You know, we've always been close. But I guess I just never had that feeling, and now I do when I'm with him.
How long has he been taken away from you? I mean,
since March 9th.
Ooh, remember that day, didn't you?
Oh, yeah, I remember that. And I remember I kept telling myself, I need to get out of this, and what am I doing? I had that gut feeling that I was going to end up getting him taken away. And I felt like God gave me so many signs, you know, open your eyes, Megan, look what's going to happen. And it just, I ignored it, and... My son had to get taken away from me for me to open up my eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And if he wouldn't have got taken away from me, I'd still be out there doing drugs. So in a way, it's a blessing in disguise, like Aida always says. So, I mean, and I never thought I would sit here and say I'm thankful for it happening. You know?
So even, I mean, and we were talking with Claudia about like the shock and trauma of that moment.
Mm-hmm.
Even with that, at that point, were you like right on motivated or was it, did it take a little while for it to kind of get grounded?
I think whenever it happened, I was going insane. I absolutely did not know what to do.
Did you stop right there to use drugs? Or you
I haven't used. I haven't used since the day he got taken away. Yeah. Actually, the day before.
Was that a struggle? I mean, we talk sometimes about, like, withdrawal and stuff like that. Was that... Or were you, like, so shocked about the whole thing that it was, like...
Mm-hmm. The biggest thing, the hardest thing was, you know, I would be out all night, you know, going, hanging out with my friends, and all of a sudden, you don't have any... The people that you used to hang out with, they're not there, you know? You don't have them to hang out with anymore, and you need to learn how to cope with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And learn, I mean, I'm learning so much more about myself.
Do you like what you see?
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
Anything special?
I don't know.
You're strong, you're tough, you're smart. Yeah.
I think I'm
you're not up. I go, you're not up all night?
I think with all that I've been through, I think I'm a strong woman. I think I'm strong. I look back and I never thought that I would be sitting here right now, you know, with the way I have dealt with it. From day one since my son got taken away, I've been clean, and I'm proud of myself for that.
Nice. Claudia, you know, we know that there's a lot of people, you know, there's stressors, there's abuse, there's hardships, and there's quite a bit of drugs in our community. A lot of people out there that are still struggling. There are, indeed. What do you think about them, and what kind of thoughts can you share from them, you know, from this side of the aisle now, with 8 months of recovery and plans to reunify your kid and this sense of calm that you've got now? You know, what do you think of those people that are still struggling?
That's kind of hard.
Yeah, I didn't promise you'd be easy.
It's just like, God does a car question.
I really don't, there's nothing in it. It, you know, you have to get to that, I guess they're going to have to get to that point where they just get tired, you know, you just have to be tired.
To make that choice.
You have to make that choice because there's nothing out there. It doesn't bring you anything good and it just destroys your life, your family, everything. It's not worth it. You know, I mean, I pray to God that I never ever go back. I never ever want to go back, you know, it's just horrible life. But I think that they should come and, you know, do recovery because it's so worth it. Everything you gain back, the trust, your family, everything. Your self-respect, you know, when you're out there, you do so many things that, I did so many things I never thought I would do on drugs, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't care what anybody thought about me. I didn't care about myself. I didn't care about nobody but me, you know, about my drugs, actually. So I feel that.
And that's not worth whatever you get out of it, then.
No, it's not. It just ruins your life.
Okay. Looking back on it, what was harder, keeping your life together while you were using drugs, or, you know, what little bit you did keep together, or keeping it together in recovery?
Mm-hmm. That's a question.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean? Like, what was harder for me today for that?
Yeah.
That was way harder for me.
So the people who might be struggling right now who are thinking, oh, man, recovery.
That's going to be hard. That's
a
reality.
Hard mountain to climb.
Well, it's because a lot of them don't want to face reality.
But
reality's easier.
It is way easier.
Even though it's hard, still, it's easier.
Yeah, it's easier, and it's even fun. Like, I have a lot of fun in my class, in my recovery class, you know. We learn so many things. We do activities and stuff. It's way easier, you know, and everybody, you'll notice that everybody trusts your doors open. People want to be around you, you know. People don't see and be like, oh, here she comes, and they go the other way, you know. Like, it's so much easier. It's better. I enjoy it. You know, when my dad sees me now, he's so happy to see me, not like, oh, hide my wallet, you know, he's going to ask me for money, you know. I think it's easier recovery, and it's a lot funner and better and healthier.
Sounds like it's nice to be recognized
this
for
is
your
you.
Quality.
No, yeah. Well, probably your dad is happy to see you.
Oh, yeah.
He probably had lost you from several years.
Yeah.
So now here you're back again. You know, it's like you were somebody else. When you're in drugs, you're...
I'm a whole other person.
It's a whole other person, you know. And that's hard for some people to see, you know, wait a minute. Is that still you? Or is still that the old you? You know, no, this is me. This is the real me, actually.
Yeah, well, because when I'm on drugs, I'm a whole other person. I'm just not nice to be around at all.
Mm-hmm.
And now I can even see the change in me. And it's something, so it feels good. You know, I can't explain it. It's just something that feels so good. I feel good inside about the person that I'm becoming. And I like it. It's
It's new to me and I like it a lot.
I was just hiding in there.
Yeah.
What about for you, Megan? Compare, like, that last few months before your kid got taken away versus the amount of work that you put into recovery. Easier keeping it easier doing the work for recovery, or is it easier doing the work to be on drugs?
Definitely recovery. I'm excited to be in recovery. Before I was, the last couple months that I was on drugs, I was going through major depression.
The light at the end of the tunnel was a train.
Yeah, I mean, I love being in recovery. It's I feel good. I feel good to wake up in the morning and start my day. And like I said, I look forward to the future now. I don't have to lay there at night and worry, oh, about tomorrow or, you know, even though, you know, I still have things to fix, you know, in my life, but I know everything's going to work out. I know everything's going to be fine because it gets better all the time.
Have you also seen the changes in you?
Oh, yeah.
Or the pre and post?
Oh, yeah. Before I was...
Before.
On drugs, I was a really bad person. Same thing, I was scandalous, just really scandalous. Not someone pleasant to be around.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I would lie to get my way any which way.
And now this is the real you.
Yeah, this is the real me.
Is it hard not to beat yourselves up over who you were now that you're who you are? I mean, do you kind of look back in the mirror and go, ooh?
At first, it was hard. I was feeling so guilty about, oh, I've done this, and how did I do that, and look what I put my son through. But now I look at it as a positive way, and I learned from it.
Mm.
You know, I look back, and I use the pros and cons, mm-hmm. and I look back at it, and, you know, it motivates me, because I don't want to go back to that life, and I won't.
So you encourage people who are struggling right now to come join you in your women's group? And
Well, yeah, that's the hardest thing is getting there, you know, starting the process, going to behavioral health and starting the paperwork. Or, you know, that's the hardest part. But once you're there, I promise you won't regret it.
So if there's anybody out there who thinks that they're getting signs that something really bad is going to happen and they're going to have to make the change, they could actually do that before the...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They don't have to wait for the final, like...
Have you seen any of your old so-called friends, your drug friends, and have you ever talked to them, you know, why don't you go to behavioral health, or why don't you go get treatment or get help?
No.
No? You're staying away from them?
I mean, I know recently, you know, this one girl that came in to the House of Hope, I think she was a user, and, you know, I gave her my number and I told her, you know, anytime she needs something, she has an urge or,
mm-hmm.
you know, I was trying to be there for her, but I guess she just wasn't ready.
Yeah.
And we know getting ready is tough sometimes.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, so many times, you know, people would tell me, you need to get your act together, you need to do this, and it's whenever you're ready, you know. It doesn't matter what people can tell you.
Does Aida help make people ready? Is that one of her jobs?
The stages of change.
She's helped me cope with life in the sober way. She's helped me cope, and she has given me my tools that I need to live the normal day-to-day life.
Nice. Thank you both for coming aboard today, Claudia.
Oh, thank you.
Megan.
Thank you.
And Aida, it's your turn to talk. Get the mic. Here. There you go.
I just wanted to say that I'm really proud of these two women here sitting right next to me. They were just very nervous, and I just think that they did a wonderful job. I just wanted to mention that I've seen the change in them, and it's just extraordinary how I've seen them, you know, just change, like, right in front of my face. And they work so hard. They have so much information, and they know so much, and there's just, like, so many activities that we've done. Really, if you walk into the class, you know, they're like the teachers for the newcomers. So, you know, they've gone a long ways. I'm really proud of them, and I thank them for being here, for sharing their testimony, for having the courage to be here
That's
and
strange.
Just to share, you know, their own experience, and hopefully trying to reach all those listeners that are going through the same thing so that they can call and also request or for assistance. And the number is
always call 1-800-482-4000 with whatever your behavioral health concern is, and that number leads to all numbers.
And if you want to talk to me, Aida Castillo, my number is area code 763-337-3098. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much again for coming and for, you know, sharing your stories and sharing, you know what, it's going to be, you know, your strength. That's what it is. So thank you. Thank you very much.
And again, listeners, if you caught the show today and think somebody else needs to listen to it, point them to the webcast, kxlradio.com, and it should be up in a couple of days.
You can download it, make copies, and distribute it.
No, that's not true. Join us again next week for another great Let's Talk About It. So, pleasure to bring it to you.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Let's Talk About It, heard each Thursday morning at 7:30 a.m. on KUVO 88.7 FM, Radio Bilingue, presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services and brought to you as a podcast by KXORadio.com.